Welcome to Teaching Restored, where we talk about the love of teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can think of this as your weekly gospel teacher gospel council meeting. What is it? What is it really called? Teacher council?
No, that's not right. What is
teacher
it,
Kevin? Council meeting.
Yes, that's it. Teacher council
meeting. Teacher council meeting. That's what it's called. There you go. This is your weekly teacher council meeting. Welcome, Julie. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here. Too bad that we're off to such a great start.
We are.
We already can't find our words. This is a problem when we're supposed to
talk. Yeah, it is. Okay, we're going to bumble through this one. No, we're not. This is going to be nice and succinct. I lie. Here we go. Are you ready?
I hope so.
So my family and I, we lived in Alabama for a while. And while we are in Alabama, the presidential elections with Mitt Romney were and Barack Obama, they were happening. And it was really interesting to watch everything that happened, and because it's the South, it's a deep South, and people have their views of our church. Now, love the people. I love the people in Alabama, whether they're members of the church or not. They really, and especially when it came to religion, love talking to them about religion. It was great. However, I remember the story of Mitt Romney going to a church, and they had a number of speakers, and the speaker right before Mitt Romney totally tore down the church and then said, "All right, Mitt Romney, come on up."
Oh gosh, that's not awkward.
It didn't work very well. How can you tear that down and say, "Okay, Mitt Romney for president. There you go." Everyone's going to be right? Like, "Yeah, no, why would I do that?" Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't work very well. So there are some churches that present information against our church. Why do they do that?
Well, I mean, in this case, so I'm a tiny bit lost in the story. Let me ask a question.
Okay.
Was this guy that was standing up, was he another like candidate? Was it a political thing or was it just a church thing?
From what I understand, it was just a church thing.
Okay. So why would he get up and slander the church? Is that what you're trying to say? Or
no,
why do some people?
Well, why? I mean, in other churches do things like this. They have classes against our church, right?
Yeah.
Why do they do that, Julie?
I mean, I think it's a great question. I will tell you, actually, let me give you the answer from the perspective of a member of the church and then an answer from the perspective potentially of them.
Thank you.
Okay. So as a member of the church, I could think in my mind, oh, it's to discredit the church. This is Satan's way of, you know, because he's afraid of the church and he's afraid of what we're working to build because it's good and it brings people closer to God. And so he must do everything he possibly can to destroy it. And so he plants these ideas in other people's heads that that's what they need to do, that they need to fight against this. But from the perspective of a person who is a member of that church, or even a leader of that church, I would say that you have a desire to protect other people from something that you see as threatening. And you have a desire to warn, just like we talk about warning our neighbors, right? We're warning them about, you know, different things, obviously. And hopefully we're not doing it in a way that destroys somebody else. But I think from their perspective, it's a safety issue.
Sure. I would agree with that, actually. I have heard actually and talked to others where they have said, and I'm not saying that this is the only reason why, but sure. I have heard others say that they might speak against our church because if they were to be led astray by our church, they will go to hell and they don't want anyone to go to hell. So they're doing what they can, right? They're trying to preach against our church.
Yeah.
Because they care. Well, wait a minute. We care, they care, and we are on two totally different paths. Okay, so just keep that in mind. Okay. Now. So I mentioned this, some of the videos that I will watch. I actually love watching videos that take our church and say, this isn't true. You know, the church, your church teaches this and it's not true. And well, actually, let's go to Mosiah.
Okay.
And I lost it, but it's in like chapter 17, I think, 16, 15, chapter
Okay.
15.
You found it fast for having lost it. Good job.
Why, thank you. All right, would you start reading chapter 15 for us, please?
At the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay, and now Abinadi said unto them, I would that ye should understand that God himself shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people.
Stop.
And
What does that sound like?
that Christ is coming to redeem his people.
Okay, if you're not a member of the church, what does that sound like?
Like
God
Christ.
himself.
Oh, God himself. Oh, I see. You're thinking like Trinitarian. Yes, for us, we know that it's Christ, but for them, it might validate the concept of the Trinity.
Okay, keep reading that with that thought in
Got
mind.
it.
Good.
Okay. I got you now. And because he dwelleth in flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. And having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son. Okay, keeping that in mind, right?
Keep
Whoa.
going.
The Father, because he was conceived by the power of God, and the Son, because of the flesh, thus becoming the Father and Son.
One more.
And they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth.
So, doesn't that plainly state that we believe in the Trinity, or that the Book of Mormon preaches the Trinity?
That's a tough one. That's a tough
Right?
one.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, right? I've seen videos saying, listen, look at this.
Yeah.
Members, their own Book of Mormon shows that the Trinity is a thing. And just to be clear, a lot of churches say if you don't believe in the Trinity, you cannot be saved because you actually don't believe in God. That's not the God. You believe
Right.
in some like different, you're worshiping another God, basically worshiping
Right.
another idol, right? So
Right.
unless you understand it, and so what they're saying is, hey, you actually, your book teaches the Trinity, and yet you don't
Yeah.
believe it? What is that?
Right.
And it seems very clear, right? So it's interesting, and I could go on and on, actually, and we could talk about Joseph Smith and polygamy. I've seen people come up and say, or on video say, Joseph Smith, polygamy, and state some quote facts that seem completely wrong. That, I mean, not
Yeah.
wrong as in incorrect, but wrong as in morally wrong, that should not ever happen. Isn't that clear to everyone, right? So they have a great way of making things very plain and saying, here's the fact or supposed fact, right? And here's what it says, or here's what your church says, and they are opposed to each other and supposedly making things plain. Now, an episode or two ago, I talked about how we deliver in plainness, right? Now we're going to talk about the actual doctrines and the words being plain themselves. So instead of the mode of communication being plain, we're going to talk about the substance being plain. All right. So now turn to 1 Nephi 13, if you would.
Yes. First Nephi 13. Got it.
32. We're going to start there.
Okay.
And if you would start reading, I will actually just read the whole verse, if you would, please.
Okay. Neither will the Lord God suffer that the Gentiles shall forever remain in that awful state of blindness which thou beholdest therein, because of the plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church whose formation thou hast seen.
Okay, so we see the phrase plain and precious.
Yeah.
If we look in verse 34, right in the middle, it says it again. At the end of that verse, it says it again. In the middle of the next verse, it says it again. In the middle of verse 40, it says plain and precious again, that the substance of what we are saying is plain and precious. So, all right, how is we're saying things are, let's focus on the plain. I don't want to say forget the precious right now, but let's focus on the plain part, right? If what we're saying is very plain and what they're saying is very plain, how come we are at such odds? How can they both be plain to the understanding? I've struggled with this a bit.
Yeah, and I can see why. You know, it's so interesting because next episode I'm going to do is a little bit related to this.
Okay.
And I'll just, you know, dropping a hint, it's about perspective taking.
Great. Okay.
And so when you look at this idea that something could be plain to both parties, and here's part of what you're saying, is that it actually even feels plain when it's coming across, like in its delivery, right?
Sure.
Like that you are actually saying, I see exactly what you're saying. And so I think, how can it be plain to both? I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with what information you have, with what your background is, with what, I mean, then again, they're both plain. Oh gosh, right. Kevin, like I'm right. a little bit,
I mean,
I'm feeling dumb because I don't
know.
I don't even have a, like a baloney answer.
You know what? I wouldn't feel dumb about this because this question came into my mind and I could not reconcile. I was like, they're both plain. So how is someone supposed to know the difference between two plain things that are very different? They're pointing very different ways, right? If they're both plain and they seem to be both precious overall. I mean, one is kind of a warning and from maybe an evangelical perspective. And then from our perspective, it's, you know, it could be a lot of different things that we'll talk about. But how can they both be plain? So I really started to dive into that and try to understand that.
And now, I found really quickly, on really fast. When you're talking about them both being plain, you're meaning being described clearly. So we're talking intellect right now, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure because, I mean, clearly there's a lot more to discernment.
Right.
Between, you know, what is and is not correct. However, when it comes to intellect,
okay.
That's what we're focused on.
Yes. And actually that's one of the two things here that I discovered myself. I don't know, you know, from a philosophical point of view, if this is correct or other people have seen this or, but this is what I, as I've studied this, I've tried to, or I've come out with. First off, there's the purpose and then there's the mode or the vehicle of which it is transported or understood, I will say.
Yeah.
So with others who are against our church, I would say their purpose is to tear down and to win in a way.
Yeah.
And I'll label it that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that may sound a little harsh and I don't mean it to be because I understand they have good hearts and I love them. I really, really do. But it's to say, this is wrong. We have to tear this down because it is wrong. That sounds more harsh than I mean it to be, but that's kind of what I came with. And the vehicle or the mode of understanding is logic. So you hit that right on. It's very logical. When we talk about the plain and precious, I noticed, and this was really interesting, that the purpose is not to tear down ever. It's not to win. It's to experience. And when I learned that, I was like, oh, this is beautiful. This is incredible. And the mode, of course, is the Holy Ghost. So let's get into this a little bit. Some of the most basic, plain and precious truths that we can find are found in Article of Faith number 4. Mm-hmm. Faith in Jesus Christ, repentance, mm-hmm. baptism by immersion, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? And then we have endure to the end on that. So let's break that down, and we look at the purpose of that. Faith, when we talk about having faith, we are talking about having an experience to try his promises.
Yeah.
Okay. It isn't to go away from or don't do that. It's try faith, have faith in Christ, but through experiences. Repentance, that's an action. Baptism, obvious action. They're receiving baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost and enduring to the end. That is action. That is experience. It's not like, you know, we're not getting into the works thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having experiences. Why would we have those experiences? Why don't we just prove it? You know, why don't we just use logic and prove it? Because when we have those experiences, then the Holy Ghost will come in and say, you nailed it. That's it. Right. And it will confirm it rather than logic confirming it. It's really easy to logically, and we hear this all the time with missionaries, don't go bashing.
Yeah.
You could win, right? You may be skilled enough to win. That's not the purpose of what we're trying to do. The purpose of what we're trying to do is to, and from this perspective, have them go have an experience with plain and precious truths, and the Holy Ghost will witness to them. You're not going to witness to them, maybe verbally, but it's not your witness that will do it. It's the witness of the Holy Ghost, right? So those are the two different ways. If we talk about, so that's salvation. If we talk about exaltation, receive the priesthood, action, magnify calling, action, make and keep covenants, action. And when I say action, it's really experience, right? Those are, each of those is an experience or lead to more experiences. And so what I found is that the plain and precious truths of the gospel encourage us to go experience, to go experiment on the word, on what we hear, and not just take it as logic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I just gave a talk on Sunday, and as I was preparing for that talk, part of the point that you're making right now was kind of weighing on my mind. Let me see if I can summarize a little bit of what you said and then kind of make this point that was heavy on my heart. That I think that sometimes we think that the best way for us to, actually, let me just back up. I'm going to just say, so my talk was about building Zion.
Okay.
And I was talking a little bit about the difference in strategies of Heavenly Father and the strategies of Satan. And that in a lot of cases, the litmus test for whether we're spending our time doing things that Heavenly Father would want us to spend our time on, or whether we are, you know, kind of falling victim, if you will, to some of Satan's strategies is, does this build or does this tear down? And great. So when you consider that, you know, I remember doing some research once in preparation for a lesson where I took a whole group of scriptures that talked about Satan, like his works. I know that sounds really weird, but like you would kind of flush out from these scriptures all of these destructive things and ways that he operates. It's always intended to break something down, even, you know, with gossip, with temptation, with, you know, even trying to erode your agency in any way that he can. Those are the strategies that he utilizes. And ironically, he tempts us to use the same strategies in the name of freedom, but it's to squelch, to tear down, to squishy squish, if you will, versus our Heavenly Father and our Savior. Like almost every word associated with them is a building word. It's a constructive word. And so even as you go through, you know, faith, repentance, baptism, the gift of the Holy Ghost, and endurance, you know, those are like experiential words that take action with the purpose of building you up and growing you and making you more than what you already were.
Great.
And it's a litmus test, though, for us as well, to determine whether or not our actions are being guided by a Heavenly Father, or whether we're falling, you know, kind of victim, if you will, to being an instrument in the hands of Satan.
That's good. That's really interesting that you had that talk just last week.
Yeah.
And
Like,
it lines up
I
with
think
that.
that the reason that it was like, and just to make one more point, I don't think this is tangential, but when you think about the one thing that Satan fears, it's Zion. Like, he's afraid of Zion. I take this from the book of Revelation with this whole, huge story about the dragon laying in wait for the woman to give birth to a child that, do you know what I'm talking about? There's this whole
Yep, I
technicolor thing where
know.
the woman represents the church. Well, what's she going to give birth to? She's giving birth to Zion, so to speak. That's the purpose of the whole church, is to build a people that are pure in heart. And so Satan's lying in wait, like chomping at the bit, because as soon as it comes out, the baby, he wants to go and gobble it up because he's scared of it. Right? And so it kind of comes out of that. Like, all of these things that you're talking about, like these strategies, when it's of God, it's always building and
It is building.
strengthening and
Yeah,
unifying and all
it
that. So
is.
anyway, that was a little bit tangential.
Not really. No, it's not. So let me add in there. So you talked about building and the way, and I'll just kind of go back to a point that the way we build it is through having experiences, right?
Experiences.
We
Yes.
need to have these experiences. And so we're always go test the word, go try it out. Go read your scriptures, right? Things like that. We want people to go experience rather than say, no, tear down and stay away from. Like,
Avoid versus have an
yep.
experience.
Yeah. And that's part of the reasons I think why our church does not have a class about another church and why you shouldn't go there or how to combat them or what you should do, right? It's always, here's the truth. Seek the truth, go have experiences with the truth. That's the whole direction. And that, because of that, that will build Zion.
You know, it's
Now it's
interesting. When I was younger, my parents, when I had a friend who was going to a different church, I remember having this conversation with them, and I thought they would say no when I asked if I could go to church with her. And they were like, absolutely. And I'm like, oh, I
what?
can?
Right.
You know what?
Yeah.
And for the logic, not for the logic, for the same reason that you're offering right now. Like, we're invited to have experiences with things instead of stay away, it's terrible, it's evil, and in tearing another church or whatever down. Sorry, I
Right.
didn't say that very articulately.
I saw an ad or a video, or I don't, it was so long ago, it was a while ago, but it was something along the lines of, don't read the Book of Mormon, that's how they get you. Right? So, yeah, it's not how we get you, it's how the Spirit gets you and pricks your heart and says, oh. So
That's really funny.
we have those principles of salvation and exaltation, and those are hit over and over and over and over in the church, and over and over and over and over again. And we may come to the point sometimes where what we hear is like, okay, I already know that. In fact, I remember several times having been in a leadership meeting with an apostle or a 70 there, and I think, okay, they're gonna give us some big, deep doctrine, and they say, brethren, sisters, repent, or have faith. And I'm like, these are the most basic thing. You have the leaders here. Why don't you expound more? And they keep coming back to that over and over and over again. So let me ask you, to you, Julie, what are some of the plain and precious truths of the gospel?
I think a lot of them go back to our Savior Jesus Christ, right? Truths of the gospel related to him, his atonement, his like repentance. I mean, I'm kind of going back to those first principles of the gospel,
Right,
right?
as you should.
And exactly. I think that those are some of the plain and precious truths that I think there's also like I think almost, I mean, obviously all of the plain and precious truths are going to go back to the Savior Jesus Christ. But I also think that there is a lot that we can learn about the nature of God and understanding,
yes,
you know, his nature that is plain and precious and clarifies, yes, so many other things doctrinally.
Good.
Because they have to align with his nature. Like, is that kind of the direction that you're... Yeah,
that's exactly it. I mean, it isn't earth shattering. I mean, it is powerful, but it's not like we haven't heard this a bazillion times already.
Right.
We know this and we keep hearing it again and again and again. So if the gospel is asking us basically to go experience, what kind of experiences lead to building up Zion? Lead to building our faith, lead to building, creating who we are, coming closer to Christ. What kind of experiences?
Vertical, right?
Tell me about that.
Like relational experiences with our Father in heaven through prayer, through the partaking of the sacrament. I think experiences where we have the opportunity to share our testimony and something becomes more solidified in our mind because of it. I as you were describing this building of Zion, like you kind of inserted that in there, that little phrase, I think that relationship experiences are a big part of it too. You know, finding, you know, overcoming contention, finding peace. Those are covenantal things. Like, you know, when we think about how we live our covenants in action, a lot of them have to do with these relationships horizontally. And so I think that you can also, you know, have that experience in our relationships, within our families, with, you know, within our wards. But I do think that a lot of them are experiences with our Father in heaven specifically.
Yeah. Julie, that was really boring.
Mm-hmm. That was, it was.
I've heard that.
I didn't even, like, before. I didn't have a lot of vocal inflection when I said Like, I just said it. Did you yawn?
Maybe.
Yeah.
No. So, I mean, I love it. I love what you said. 100%. We hear these things all the time though, right? Yeah. And have you ever been in church and they start giving us the basics and you start going, oh yeah, I mean,
dang it. Why were you going to ask me that? Because I was thinking, man, I'm so guilty of this. Like, I'll sit sometimes in a meeting and I'll be like,
serious?
Again, because I want to be stimulated in my mind and I want to, yeah, it's entertained.
Entertained, that's right. But they keep coming, the First Presidency, Quorum of the 12, general authorities, they all keep coming back to the basics.
Go to the general
want us to have
talks.
Experience with that. Yeah, again, again and again. So, let's see here. I am amazed at when I go and listen to when I'm in a leadership meeting like that, and let's say a member of the Quorum of the 12 is there, and they talk, my mind goes, whoa, that was cool. And then I go and review it and I think, they didn't say anything that was
earth shattering.
Right. I mean, that was some pretty basic stuff, but what was it? What, how come I was blown away at that? And I actually, let me ask you, I think you've had that experience before, correct? Yeah.
Yes. Why? Okay. So I was just listening to a podcast about that gave it a name, that gave it a label. And I loved it. He was talking about how as a teacher, your job is not just to teach something, but to help people have an experience with the Spirit is basically what he was saying. You and I have talked about this before.
Yes.
And he described that exact situation where you're sitting in a, you know, usually a larger group, right? And
a lot of times
when it comes to, you know, an apostle or something like that, you're in a big group. And he said that the person speaking, gave a little bit of space. Like they weren't trying to overshare. They weren't trying to fill every second and take short breaths so that they could get as much information out as possible. And he said he related a specific experience where he talked about the idea that there were three of them and they actually shook everybody's hand in that room and then just stood in front of the pulpit, just stood there for three hymns being played quietly on the piano. And he said, while he was sitting there for the first hymn, he's like, this is a little bit uncomfortable. And then the second hymn, and he's like, oh my gosh, how long are they going to do this? And then as it went a little bit longer, he's like, my mind just opened. And he said, I could feel and see things. And he had a really sacred experience in that moment because of the silence. And I think that that is what you're talking about. Like that we, if we are talking about something that the spirit can testify of, and we make space in our mind and in our hearts for it, then we will have those types of experiences.
Exactly.
But we got to make space.
We have to make space for that, don't we? Oh, yeah. That's such a good, what a story. What an experience.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. I love that. But I love the thought of making space. And that is, I think if we get to, and so thinking of gospel teachers, it's really easy to get into deep, dark doctrine, right? Or the history of the church and just, you know, and there's nothing wrong with learning that by any means. But what are we learning for or what are we teaching to? Yeah. It should really all come back and all be rooted in these plain and precious truths that we repeat again and again and again, and we don't stop, and we do it over and over and over. And I don't know with you, but with me, as I hear these plain and precious truths, I get different perspectives on it from the Holy Ghost teaching me that, oh, think about that. And I'm like, whoa, how, I mean, I've thought about repentance before, but I've never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it just gets deeper, and each of these doctrines and principles get deeper and deeper. But
you know, I just want to share this thought really quickly. It keeps coming to my head. I've had two experiences recently with people that I love dearly that are really wrestling with their testimonies. And in one case he articulated as, I just don't want to be naive. I just don't want to be dumb and follow blindly. And so he's really trying to take a deep dive into some of, you know, church history and other things. And in this other sister's case, she's like, I just can't turn a blind eye to fill in the blank, you know? And she's talking even about some current events that are in the media with regard to the church and things that she just really struggles with. And it was so interesting as you're saying this right now, I started thinking about how we almost allow ourselves to go away from the plain and precious when we feel the need to study those things. Like it isn't that we're doing them simultaneously, right?
Right.
Like I think we get into trouble when we set one aside in favor of, I'm talking specifically when we set the plain and precious truths aside in favor of, you know, the deep dives into deep dark spaces. And in both cases, they described the unrest that they felt as they've continued to kind of go down this rabbit hole. And in my mind, I'm like, if you are feeling that feeling, that's not from the spirit. Mm-hmm. Get out, right? Like, right. But
the confusion, I can't ignore it now. Comes,
exactly. I can't unsee what I've seen. I would be naive. And the confusion comes from, wouldn't the spirit testify still in this space if it's true and the church is still true in spite of, or whatever the case may be? So it gets really confusing, and I don't want to minimize that confusion in any way. But I think that the kind of mental test, if you will, is what am I focused on? And have I lost sight of the plain and precious in favor of these other things? You know, if I think you have to, like, it's primary and secondary truths, right? Primary and secondary questions that we're chasing.
Yeah.
And the plain and precious are related to the primary.
And I I challenge anyone to take any of the plain and precious truths, any of the doctrine, any of the simple ones, prayer, faith, etc., repentance, etc., and dive into it and go learn about it. And then do it again. And then do it again. And then again. And I've done this, and I think, okay, I'm going to dive into faith now. I think I've learned a lot about faith already, but you know, I feel prompted to go do this. And then I go in and do it again. And I'm like, wow, that's deep. That's some really good stuff. And every time I learn, and I never find the depths, the bottom of this topic. I never complete Netflix, right? It's like Netflix just keeps adding more and more and more, and you can never complete Netflix. It's the same kind of thing, right? you dive into one of these plain and precious truths and you will never find the bottom.
Yeah.
It keeps going. And it absolutely amazes me, but it must, like you said, you have to have space for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has to be that teacher there. And so for gospel teachers, I think my message today is, number one, don't shy away from the plain and precious truths. Everything that we talk about should be rooted in Jesus Christ and those plain and precious truths every single time. And again, it's not that we can't go learn some, you know, get deep into church history or other things like that. That's great. Absolutely. Why not? But not to the exclusion of these other things, these plain and precious truths. So then the Holy Ghost is the one that makes the difference. When we make space, like you said, make space for the Holy Ghost. We could hear these words. We're in class. Someone talks about the plain and precious truths. One person feels the Spirit and is blown away. The other one is falling asleep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. Happens every Sunday, right?
Right.
Oh, that was the best lesson ever. I'm like, well, are you kidding me? That was, wow. Seriously? That lesson? Or you could be talking to your kids. One kid's like, yeah, Mom, whatever. Whatevs. And the other one is like, wow, that, I will remember that for the rest of my life, Mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's interesting. I just had an experience with my oldest the other day where we were having gospel study and we were talking about something that he had just talked about in church. And so he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he'd read the scriptures and he'd be like, yeah, yeah, I heard that earlier. I heard that earlier over and over and over. And I finally got done. I was so ticked. So the Spirit was totally not there. It was a really great job on my part of creating a wonderful environment for our study, family scripture study. But after I had some space to breathe, I realized that one of the things that I actually really have a testimony of is what you're describing right here, that we will never reach the end of our learning, that we will never fully comprehend something. And I think that because it looks so simple from, you know, this perspective, we are looking to get to simplicity on the far side of complexity, right? When you're on the near side, it looks easy and you think you're done. Yeah. But there is so much more to learn.
Right.
And man, I want a tour guide through the forest of complexity in the form of the Spirit so that I don't get lost in the process. But I definitely love, I think that when we can testify of the plain and precious truths, having waded through and studied deeper and had the Holy Ghost enlighten our minds in different ways, we will be more effective teachers, which means that we have to keep going back to it and over. There is always more to learn.
Yeah, I agree. And so I really think that with teachers, if you're a new teacher and you don't know all those deep, dark things, who cares? It doesn't matter. You teach the things that you know. You teach the plain and precious things over and over again. And that's really what matters. I don't want ever a new teacher to think, oh, I don't know as much as so-and-so. They know so much about the doctrine. They've read so many books. They've read, listened to all those podcasts. They get it all. How can I ever compete with that? Well, first off, it's obviously not about competing, but secondly, You have what you need. You have the plain and precious truths. You've learned those. You've accepted those. Focus on those. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're going to be a great teacher. That was, for me, that was really comforting, because there are a lot of people that I look up to that know a lot more than I do. And I couldn't hold a candlestick to a lot of them, but I can teach plain and precious truths. I can keep going back to those again and again, but we have to have the spirit.
And I think you also said something else from the perspective of learner. We are always learners. Mm-hmm. And so we need to, you know, always have our minds open and receptive to, you know, when we're listening to somebody else doing the same, teaching from a place of plain and precious, we gotta pay attention and open our minds and invite the spirit to enlighten them so that we can you only get out what you put in. So,
yep. So next time the plain and precious truths are presented to you, don't shy away and go, oh yeah, I've heard this before. Boring. Or if you hear that from someone like your child, or maybe from a class member, they're like, seriously, repentance again? Yeah.
Missionary work again.
Really? We have to do that? I've heard so much about, we talk about this all the time. Well, there's a reason for it. Rather than saying, yes, it is. That's what it is again. Let's do it again. Let's go have an experience with it. The experience will be different every single time. Yep. So go experience the plain and precious, wonderful truths of the gospel and go teach those as well.
Love it.
That's what I have today, Julie.
I like it.
This was one of those topics that I, when plain and precious things are just what are taught to me, I just feel so peaceful. I'm like, oh, there's my cozy blanket to cuddle up with on the couch. And that's how I feel the best, is when those are presented to me. So I hope that we can all go out and do those plain and precious things. Now, if you would, plain and preciously, like, share, subscribe.
Oh my gosh, that was so dorky.
Thank you. It's really easy to do those things. And it helps other gospel teachers learn about this. And by the way, I was on TikTok. I'm not a fan. I don't get on social media hardly at all. But I thought, you know what? I got to see what's happening on TikTok with Teaching Restored. Are you kidding me? I was blown away. We had all these, Kyle put up a post and said something about one of the topics that we talked about. And then we had all of these, this whole discussion in it. And I'm like, wow, look at all of these different perspectives. All these people were commenting back and forth. I mean, it was great. And I learned from the comments. So
that's awesome.
Keep them coming, whether on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Just share it if you would.
Now I got to go look.
Yeah, you do. Got to go look. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Take care, and we'll see you next time.